The Navajo Nation is in desperate need of housing. The federal government has given the country's largest Native American tribe more than $1.5 billion to help build and refurbish homes. It's part of the Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act that was passed by Congress in 1998 to address housing shortages on American Indian reservations. But a new investigation by the Arizona Republic finds that nearly two decades later, there is little to show for all that money. Joining us now is Craig Harris. He's a senior reporter at the Arizona Republic who's investigated the Navajo Housing Authority, the agency responsible for distributing the money. Craig, thanks for coming on.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, it is incredibly hard to find housing on the Navajo reservation. And you know, based on your reporting, I don't think it's a stretch to say that there's a housing crisis up there. Is that right?
Absolutely. There's an absolute housing crisis. Now, they talked about on their own reports, and they need tens of thousands of homes up there on the reservation. And, you know, the reservation, it encompasses Arizona, Utah, and New Mexico, and it's about the size of West Virginia. So it's a massively huge area here.
And the homes, you know, you describe this in your piece, the ones that exist have peeling baseboards. They have windows that don't shut, wall panels held up by duct tape. I mean, just tell us more about the conditions of the housing stock.
Yeah, most of the houses up on the reservation are really in pretty poor shape. That is the universal complaint among folks who live there up on the reservation. And even when a so-called renovation occurs, a lot of the residents up there, the people are just not happy because the workmanship is so shoddy, they say, that, you know, the doors don't line up. We've seen places where you have a vent that's supposed to go outside for your dryer, to your washer and dryer. It's in the wrong place, so it doesn't work, so you can't hook it up. You know, just little things that, you know, most people take for granted when they purchase a home or rent a home, that just doesn't happen up on the reservation.
It's very remote as well. It's also extremely poor. The statistics are almost impossible to believe. Poverty rate of 43%. You report that 22% of Navajo adults have full-time jobs. I mean, is that part of the problem? Just, I mean, the sheer poverty there.
It's an amazing poverty. It's an extremely poor reservation. It's probably the poorest or one of the poorest in the country. And it's clearly, if it was its own state, it would be the poorest state in the union. Unemployment is rampant. You know, it's like four or five times worse than the worst state here in the country. And, you know, there's just a lot of problems up on the reservation as a whole. And it's a very, very beautiful place on one hand, but it's also very harsh. It's cold. The infrastructure is lacking. And so there are a lot of issues up there just on for people to find employment and to find good jobs.
Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is, of course, we've known this for a long time about the state of Native American, about the state of living conditions for Native Americans in this country for ages. And there is supposed to be a solution. The federal government has paid out $1.7 billion about in housing money to the Navajo Reservation since 1998. And this is really the key to your investigation. You ask a pretty basic question: what happened to the money?
Well, and that's a part of the problem. And if you look at the numbers, you know, we're only talking 25-30% of that number actually went to build homes. And even when the homes were built, there were questions about what went on. I mean, one of the worst things that we found is that the reservation built 91 homes up in a place called Shiprock, New Mexico, and through a myriad of problems of almost too numerous to count, at the end of the day, they tore 90 of them down, and it's just sad. And so people live in these just box, you know, homes that are crowded, that where they're dilapidated, and then they built these homes, and then they tore them down, or they have shelters in different parts of the state that just sit for years, or they build other homes that they build, and then no one occupies them. So it's just almost a sad comedy of errors in a place where so much housing is needed, and then when they do build them, they make just massive mistakes.
And in some cases, they're not even spending the money. You write that $250 million is just sitting in the tribe's federal account dedicated to this program. So, question would be, is it incompetence? Is it corruption? Is it both? What's going on?
Well, I don't quite know if I can answer on that part. I mean, there have been questions about, you know, how well they're managing the money. You know, they will argue now that they have spent the money down, but they won't give a detailed breakdown. I mean, that surplus actually got up to $500 million at one point a few years ago. And you have to question, okay, well, where does it go? And they kind of give a general area of where it goes, but you can't get a detailed breakdown because they're sovereign. You know, one year they spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars just on overhead administration, and they didn't build a single home. So it's, you know, it is really questionable about what's going on, why homes aren't being built, what the problem is, and it's just a constant struggle.
What about accountability for this Navajo Housing Authority? This is no secret. The federal government knows this has been going on. What are they doing about it?
Well, the feds have stepped in recently, and they want $96 million back because they're saying back around 2012, the tribe, or not the tribe, the Navajo Housing Authority said it was going to build all these homes, and they didn't. And so HUD, you know, the Department of Housing and Urban Development, says, we want that money back. And the tribe says, no, we're not letting you have that money back. And so now they're in court. So they could, the federal government actually could take about $96 million back from the Navajo Housing Authority.
And maybe give it back to other tribes who would find a use for it.
They would. That would be the point. They wouldn't just take it back and be punitive. It would be punitive against the Navajo tribe, but the money would actually be distributed to other tribes throughout the country who could use it in a better way.
This is heartbreaking because we're talking about people's homes, right? It's like the fundamental thing that you have in your life. And you spoke to a woman named Carletta Begay, who lives in Shiprock, New Mexico, on the reservation. And my takeaway from the reporting on this was that this was like an American dream for her. She was thrilled at this idea of having a driveway with a curb, with a garage, you know, like simple things that so many people take for granted. And so we're talking about this actually impacting a lot of people.
Well, yeah, and it is. You know, we spent a couple days with Carletta, and, you know, she's a very sweet lady, very simple lady. Husband's a truck driver, and, you know, she and her four daughters live in a, you know, 600, 700 square foot home. And she did have a dream. She had a dream that this home would be hers, that she would actually have a garage, that she would actually have curb cuts, that they would actually put street signs on these streets, which, you know, for most Americans, we take all that for granted. But for her, that was part of the American dream. And then at the end of the day, they just tore the houses down. And it was very sad. And, you know, she's still up there in Shiprock. It's a very remote part of the country. And those homes would have made a tremendous difference for her and for, you know, 90-some other families living up there who could really have used a nice home. And we're not talking extravagant home. These were 1,300, 1,200 square foot homes that were modest, but they had things that we take for granted, a garage, you know, modern appliances. And it would have been wonderful if she could have had something like that.
Craig Harris, senior reporter at the Arizona Republic, reported this story along with his colleague Dennis Wagner. Craig, thanks very much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for giving us the time.
We've also been following the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline for a few months now, and there is an update to that story. Police arrested three people after opponents of the pipeline hung a banner from the roof of the U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis yesterday during the Minnesota Vikings football game. Two protesters climbed over a guardrail and rappelled down from a truss in the roof. They unfurled a banner urging U.S. Bank to divest its support for the pipeline. The Dakota Access Pipeline would carry oil from North Dakota to Illinois. It's almost complete, but opponents have protested a proposed section of that project near the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota. Members of the tribe say it will endanger their water supply. Well, in December, the Environmental Protection Agency denied a permit for a section of the pipeline that would cross the Missouri River. The president-elect, Donald Trump, says he supports finishing the project.